Blitz.
I'm not crazy about the Rockets draft.
With Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
When you think about what the Rockets really needed going in, you need depth at point guard, and you probably need some outside shooting. They didn't address that whatsoever.
Weekdays from 4 to 7.
Zhuji apparently can shoot a little, but I don't think he's going to play in the NBA this year. This is what the Rockets do, and they did this with power forward a few years ago, where they continue to draft guys that they all kind of seem like they're the same guy. Terrence Jones and Royce White and Amoris.
And they took Jones after they already had Patrick Patterson.
Yeah, Patrick Patterson. You're like, why do they keep drafting the same guy? They figured, well, how can we get another guy that's basically Clint Capella and Montrezl Harrell? And then they found one.
And can't shoot free throws.
They said, you know what we're really missing around here? An undersized big with limited offensive game shoots terrible free throws.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And sports. There's no Fred Fowler here today. There is no Fred Fowler. I repeat, Fowerless day. I warned you yesterday, though, that Fred wouldn't be here again. And I'm warning you now, he won't be here until, I don't even know what day, but it's a long time from now. What day is Fred coming back, John?
He's out through next week.
25th.
I could have told you that. The 25th?
25th.
So Fred will be back on the 25th, allegedly. Until then, you're going to have me and a mystery guest every day.
Hodgepodge.
A smorgasbord of radio. I don't want to say radio talent.
Greatness.
But radio.
Talent? What? You don't want to say talent?
I don't want to say that.
Jerk.
But radio. What's the right word even?
Mediocrity.
Radio. How about people on the radio?
All right. I'll take it. I've been called worse.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I've been called worse.
Barry Laminack is the man today and was the man yesterday. If you liked yesterday's show, maybe you'll enjoy today's show. If you didn't like yesterday's show, go ahead and turn it off now.
Bad news.
Bad news. I was thinking about this today when I was prepping the show. And you came in and said basically the same thing. There is nothing going on in the world of sports.
Nothing.
I don't care about anything that's happening.
No.
Maybe you watched the Home Run Derby last night, and maybe you were really excited about it.
Riveting television. Is the rumor true that this is his last time?
We can only hope.
Gone! Gone!
I mean,
gone!
I can only hope that it is that there's nothing that I despise more than his voice. Nothing.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that's it.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know, and apparently he got a lot of grief last night for like shoehorning in a Muhammad Ali reference.
Like you didn't know he wasn't going to do that.
Do you have that audio, John, or can you find that audio maybe? But I think the best thing we can say is, if that's the end of the Chris Berman era, I'll watch the Home Run Derby next year. I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to. I think the Home Run Derby is kind of stupid to begin with. I used to like it when I was younger, and I know Barry Warner hates it. What? We learned that yesterday.
He was watching Law and Order.
Yeah, he was watching Law and Order reruns. But I've gotten so intolerant of Chris Berman.
Yeah.
That even if I really loved the actual home run derby, like I really loved to see guys hitting batting practice home runs, I still don't think I'd watch it.
Here's how much I dislike him. If Chris Berman was calling the Super Bowl, I would either watch the Super Bowl without sound or not watch the Super Bowl. Would you, if you had to watch, if you had your choice, you couldn't watch it without sound. It was either watch it and listen to Chris Berman or not watch the Super Bowl. What would you do?
I feel like I'd have to watch the Super Bowl.
I would not. Oh, I'd
hate it so much, or I'd eat tortilla chips the entire time.
So you couldn't hear it. you couldn't hear anything.
I'd chew in my mouth.
It sounds the same. He sounds like crunching tortilla chips. I always said he was the human version of dubstep because he just had this fluctuations and this horrible pattern. I don't understand. Yeah, because he'd be like, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible sounds coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, not my favorite. Either way, Giancarlo Stanton, formerly known as Mike Stanton, by the way, a lot of people don't know that. Mike Stanton used to hit a lot of home runs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, now he's Giancarlo.
Yeah.
And since he became Giancarlo, even more effective home run hitter, he defeats Todd Frazier in the final. And now tonight, you get a much more meaningful event. The actual All-Star game where one team of, 42 people will win the opportunity for one team, like regular team in their league.
For maybe one person on that team.
Yeah.
To benefit from the win.
They will walk away the proud owners of home field advantage. You know why? Because this time it matters. Did you find it, Jung?
Yeah, I have it.
All right.
Guess what? The buzzer is sounded in a year that we lost the champ, Muhammad Ali. I have to say it. Down goes Frazier. And the new champ of the 2016 T-Mobile Home Run Derby, Giancarlo Stanton. What a show.
Okay. Now, here's my problem with that reference. If Muhammad Ali had died 3 days ago, It's timely. That guy died June 2nd or like the first week of June he died. We're going on 5-6 weeks where we've lived in a world without Muhammad Ali. That's how in a decade in which we lost Muhammad Ali.
Well, thank God Prince Fielder wasn't in it. Every time he'd hit one, oh, this is what it sounds like when doves cry. It would just be horror. Could you imagine the horror if Prince Fielder...
He's making it purple rain out there.
Oh. It would be so bad.
So you could say he went back.
Way back to early June, and Muhammad Ali died.
Oh, God.
Down goes Frazier. Very awkward.
You knew he was going to do something.
Do you think when Muhammad Ali died, he said, God, I really hope, hope that Todd Frazier
loses,
doesn't win the home run derby? Because Todd Frazier won it last year.
Because if this is my last home run derby, I'm going out on a clever note.
Yeah, that's the perfect one. Because think about it. It's in the same year that Muhammad Ali died, and Frazier would be going down. That works.
All right.
That works. I'm not going to run this by the writers or the brass at ESPN.
Do you think he
Because practiced? I came up with this on my own. This is a Berman idea.
You know, you sound like me doing Barry Warner. That was me. That was an impression of me doing Barry Warner doing Chris Berman.
Maybe so.
All right. Yeah.
But
do you think he practiced? Do you think he rehearsed that? Like he was just, oh, if Todd Frazier doesn't lose, I'm screwed. I have nothing fun.
Yeah, like, what am I
gonna... nothing clever to say.
What will I go with if... What if Todd Frazier wins?
Yeah.
It would be like...
Up goes...
In a year that Muhammad Ali died, the one thing you can't say is down goes Frazier.
Yeah, he would have shoehorned it in there somewhere.
Because Frazier didn't go down tonight.
He definitely would have shoehorned it in. Without a doubt.
Yet another shining example of why Chris Berman is the worst of us. He's the worst.
I can't argue.
And the shtick of the guys who have been at ESPN forever has gotten so old. And there were a lot of people. Man, I got the most Twitter hate.
When
Stuart Scott died.
Oh.
Because I was like, man, sucks that Stuart Scott died. I hate cancer, but Stuart Scott was awful on television. I could no longer stand watching him.
On Sunday, Shock and I, because it happened that Sunday, like they announced it on the way to the show, to do our show. And so when we got there, we didn't have a lot of time. But all we said was, when he passed, we were like, you know, even if you weren't a fan, and we both were like, and I wasn't. I wasn't a fan. I didn't like what he did. But he changed the landscape, you know. So we paid respect, but at the same, we got so much hate. Everyone was just like, "Oh, the body's not even cold yet. Dude, you're already seeing you."
I don't know what the time frame is. I didn't even
make a joke about his eye or anything.
I don't know what the time frame is after someone dies before you're allowed to say it wasn't really my thing.
I'm like 10 minutes for me.
But Stuart Scott, I learned quickly it had not been enough time.
No.
Like you. When everybody else on Twitter is saying nice things about someone who died, you better fall your ass in line.
Yeah, because don't have a different opinion.
Yeah, if you didn't like that, no, you're a bad guy.
It was the first time Shock and I ever got any real vitriol or hate on air from callers. And we were both just like, And then I was like, you know what? We didn't say anything bad. We just said he wasn't for us. What's the big deal?
It's like, you know, one of these days, Justin Bieber's going to die. And there's going to be a lot of sad people, and I'm just going to be like...
He was awful.
I thought Justin Bieber's music sucked.
Yeah.
But, hey, thoughts and prayers... Twitter thoughts and prayers to his family.
To the Beliebers out there.
Yeah, to all you Beliebers. Jeez. Twitter thoughts and prayers. So, it's like you're supposed to like everyone up until they die, and then...
Well, it's like now, if you and I were to make fun of Stuart Scott, no one would think twice.
I don't think so, but you never know.
No. I think, look at everyone makes fun of, like, Michael Jackson and,
Michael Jackson allegedly touched children. That's different. Well,
yeah. But, the same will be said about Prince. Not that he touched children, allegedly. But just people will make jokes about Prince, and it's just natural.
I also think when people
it's human nature.
When people die of cancer, it's less acceptable to make fun of them.
You think so?
Yeah. Which isn't fair, because people die of a lot of different stuff.
Listen, as a stand-up comic, there are very few things that are out of bounds in that
profession.
I text
you jokes all the time, and you're like, I cannot say that.
Well, to be fair, it's usually about people that are living.
Right.
yeah, like the one, there's one joke in particular that you wanted me to do, that there's no way in hell... ever. And I'm sure people have listened to this show long enough to know that they don't even have to guess what it is to just know that if you thought of it, it was probably pretty horrible.
Yeah.
And funny at the same time.
That's probably
true. But yeah, I mean, there's this formula in comedy where they talk about time plus laughter equals, you know, I don't know what it is. Time plus laughter equals whatever. But the point is the more time you get away from the tragedy, the more acceptable it is to make fun of it.
Okay.
And so that's kind of, I'm guessing, what it was with Stuart Scott.
Are you telling 9/11 jokes yet?
Oh, yeah.
All
every
the time.
Day. Every day. No. But, you know, it's maybe 10 minutes after Stuart Scott passes away isn't the best time in the world.
Well, I didn't make a joke.
But how do you feel about him now? You can say it.
I didn't make a joke about him even then at the time. It wasn't a joke. It was just like, man, sucks that Stuart Scott died early. Well, I wasn't a biggest fan, but... You know, it's always sad to lose someone to cancer. And they're like, why do you even have to post that? And I was like, well, why do you have to post that you love Stuart Scott? What's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But whatever. I still didn't love Stuart Scott.
As long as you don't make fun of the dude from PM Dawn, I'm good.
And I got to tell you.
Prince Bay. As long as you don't make fun of Prince Bear or Campbell Slice.
Okay.
Otherwise, you and me are fighting on air.
Okay. Yeah.
Pre-fight for you.
When the day comes that Chris Berman dies...
I want to do that
whether
show.
It be a,
I hope he dies on a Sunday.
Whether it be a cancer or heart disease or a car wreck or if he
or
chokes on a ham sandwich like Mama Cass. I'm letting you guys know now.
You're going to be nasty.
I'm not a Chris Berman fan.
Yeah.
I'll be sad for his family, but I will still not be a Chris Berman fan. That's just the way it is. All right, I got to tell you guys about Allied Outdoor Solutions. You're having people over this summer. You're maybe you're entertaining in your backyard, and while you're preparing to do that, you look at your back patio maybe, or your pool deck, or you know your driveway, and you say, "Man, this looks like crap." But I don't have the time or money to tear everything out and start all over. Good news for you guys: Allied Outdoor Solutions can help you. Not only can they help you with that, they can help you with outdoor kitchens, patio covers, and more. But that carved stone gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, and custom-colored for your home, so it's going to look amazing. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on both residential and commercial projects, and it looks amazing. Allied can help you figure out how to hang on to your hard-earned cash a little longer as well. They've got several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. With all this, it's no wonder so many people have great things to say about Allied Outdoor, including the fact that they're the 2015 Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway. Check out everything they can do for your backyard or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions. Now dance, good chance, man.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. Once again, A.J. Hoffman with Barry Laminette. Can connect with the show. We like connection, physical and otherwise. But for this instance, on Twitter, you can connect with us at Barry is funny. You can connect with me at AJ is the real. You can connect with Jong at Jong Snow with a zero, because an underscore would be awkward. And Degenerates at Degenerates 975 if you want to connect with just the show in general. So
I'm manning the text line today.
Yeah, Fred is manning the text line.
Fred is?
Fred. Bear, yeah, you and Fred, same thing.
Are we, though?
Yeah, no big
All
deal.
Right. He's probably a little smarter than I am.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've missed the show so far, we've basically made fun of Chris Berman for using Down Goes Frazier in reference to Muhammad Ali, even though
somebody on text,
even though that came from the Frazier Foreman fight.
Yeah, somebody on text was asking about that. I thought that
it was the Frazier Foreman fight. I thought I mentioned that in the beginning.
No, you didn't.
That's why it was so obnoxious.
Yeah,
but and not to mention the fact that Muhammad Ali died like 6 weeks ago. And so you felt like you needed to shoehorn that in. But, again, if that were Chris Berman's final goodbye to television in general,
probably
I'd be okay with it. But I've got a feeling he's going to be there for the NFL draft. I mean, those are the events that I most associate him with, the NFL draft and the Home Run Derby. He is probably going to, I mean, he's going to continue to be on ESPN's pregame, I'm guessing.
Oh, football. I hope not. I thought he was retiring.
I don't think so.
Is he not?
I don't think so.
Oh, please. I really hope
I don't know for sure. What do I know?
Yeah.
What do I know? TxDOT, this is for Trey's World, just sent me this, and for Jong. Y'all, please don't make us create a Don't Pokemon Go and Drive campaign. We shouldn't have to tell you this. Talk text crash. Apparently, a lot of people are playing Pokemon Go while driving.
Stupid.
Have you done this, Jong? Tell the truth.
If you play Pokemon Go and crash, you deserve it.
Yeah.
No, no. Only, like, in the neighborhood. And
what?
No.
Only where children are out playing in the streets.
If I don't see anybody, I might open it up and stop.
But you pull might not over?
See yeah, I pull over.
Okay.
Okay. So not while you're driving.
Not while I'm actually... You're a liar, Jong. No. I don't text and drive either.
Whatever.
Do you text and drive?
Oh, totally.
I do too.
Oh, yeah.
That's just as dangerous.
It's not as dangerous.
I'm doing 75 on 610. That's not as dangerous as doing 20 in a neighborhood Pokemon and going. Trust me, there's barriers to bounce me back into my lane and now on my way I go.
Big deal.
You know?
You get a big divot in the side of your truck and it's a lesson learned.
That's what insurance is for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I Facebook and drive, text and drive. I do show prep.
And drive.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading articles on the way.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I live on the wild side. Uh-oh, here comes all the hate texts.
You are committed, sir.
Yeah.
You are committed. Maybe the most interesting thing in the sports world that came out. I don't know how deep into this we want to get. But Joe Paterno, God rest his soul, is...
Don't you say nothing nasty.
Well, Joe Paterno, as most of you know, is dead. But news is coming out. A newly unsealed report found several instances where the Sandusky sexual abuse were either witnessed by other coaches or reported to university officials, including an allegation that one victim made the report directly to head coach Joe Paterno, who, if you recall, when this all came out, Joe Paterno denied.
Yep.
He said the victim who was identified in court records as John Doe 150, said while he was attending a football camp at Penn State, Sandusky touched him as he showered. Sandusky's finger...
Don't.
Well, okay, we'll just let that go. It went a place where, if you're a dude, you definitely don't want some old dude's finger to go. And he said that he asked to speak with Paterno about it. Doe testified that he specifically told Paterno that Sandusky had sexually assaulted him, and Paterno ignored it. Is it accurate that Coach Paterno quickly said to you, I don't want to hear about any of that kind of stuff. I have a football season to worry about, the man's lawyer asked him in 2014. Specifically, yes, I was shocked, disappointed, offended. I was insulted. I said, is that all you're going to do? You're not going to do anything else? Paterno, the man testified, just walked away. So, you know. A bunch of people who defended Joe Paterno as like this was something that he didn't really have any control over. He didn't know about.
He wasn't sure,
but I'm pretty sure he knew what was going on. And it's kind of, I think it's a little bit like the Art Briles thing, where you know they say no, if this happened, I didn't know anything about it, but then it turns out he knew about it. It seems very similar to me.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And
if you don't, as an adult, if you don't acknowledge something like that when it comes to children, to me, you're just as culpable. You have just as much blame. If people are trying to tell you about it, and you're just turning a deaf ear to it. So, you know, and the same is true in the Art Briles, you know, situation. I mean, if you're just ignoring it because you're more worried about your football program, yeah, you're at fault. It's pretty cut and dry to me. I don't know. I don't know how people could defend either one of these guys at this point if it's true in both cases.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand. I guess until this came out, maybe you could make an argument that, you know, Joe Paterno's not around to defend himself, and he's still not. But
his words are. The things that he told these kids or these people
Well, it's an allegation. You know, I mean, this is what this guy said.
It's sworn testimony.
I'm pretty sure that he would deny it still.
Well, of course he would.
I'm going to go ahead and say that they've got that statue standing out the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you might want to just put that thing in storage or something.
Take it down.
Maybe it is in storage.
Yeah, I think that because there was a petition from somebody, like Letterman, are asking to have it put back up now.
But let's keep it in
storage.
Horrible
timing to put it back up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better. And at some point, I don't know if I know eventually they were wanting to name the stadium after that guy. And listen, when a coach does as much as he did for that football program, I get it. You want to honor the guy? Well, if this is true, turns out that he's just kind of a bad guy.
Yeah.
And you just don't honor people who turn out to be really bad guys. Like, you know, if Adolf Hitler had been like a really, really great high school football player and set the German league touchdown record, and they're like, they want to name the field after him, you know, he's all Germany high school football running back. But then he went on to lead the Nazi party and exterminate a bunch of Jews. You can't really name the stadium after him because now he's a bad guy.
You're probably taking it down. Yeah.
You have to do that.
Yeah,
so,
that's how that goes.
Yeah. So we'll there's apparently new stuff coming out on this Joe Paterno case. It has been all day. I'm guessing they're just unsealing more documents as the day goes on. But
somebody texted in, this is crap. Maybe he knew, but this story doesn't prove it. Poor guy. Poor guy to Paterno.
Poor guy Joe Paterno?
Yeah, but sworn testimony is not proof. Well, maybe he wasn't saying poor guy to Paterno, but that's what it reads like.
Well,
I hope he wasn't.
Again, I mean, it's hard because the guy's not here to defend himself.
Yeah.
And when he was here, he said, no, I never knew anything about that. But what's an old-ass man going to say? Oh, yeah, I knew he was raping kids the whole time.
Yeah.
You can't really say that. I don't know.
Record speaks for itself, though, guys.
I got to be honest.
Yeah, he's not saying that.
With as many allegations that have come out, I can't say that I... Just common sense tells me that Joe Paterno knew what was going on. And,
yeah. Okay. Texter said, yeah, no poor guy victim. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
All right. Guys, did you know that most carpet cleaning companies leave your floors dirtier than they found them? It sounds weird, but that's the case with a lot of them. Not the case with dirt-free carpet cleaning. The other guys leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that'll trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick, can make your pet sick, can make you sick. You don't deserve to be sick. So call dirt-free carpet cleaning. 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with dirt-free. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years. They've been cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. They'll do three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE, that's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
ESPN. 97.5.
Please stand by.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is back, 4:35 on a fine Tuesday morning. I'm sure you guys are out there sitting in basically no traffic. I'm sure everyone's moving at a fast rate of speed and everything's hunky-dory. No slowdowns, no accidents to report, right, Tiffany Terrell? I didn't catch your traffic report, but
That was a long intro.
It's Houston at 4:30, so I'm guessing that everybody...
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, 6th and the West Loop southbound at San Felipe, there's an accident sitting off to the left shoulder.
Yeah, but it's
but
on
watch
the shoulder.
For an accident on the West Loop 610 northbound at West Park in three right lanes. This report is brought to you by...
So the good news is if you're on 610, there's not much good news, okay? If you're on any other street, though, I'm sure... Things are looking up.
Old Hempstead Highway just cruising right along.
Exactly.
We got some text coming in. Somebody said they live in Richmond, Virginia, and there are still massive statues of Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis. Ironically, there's also a lot of Penn State fans that there as well. So we got another one that said, can you guys talk about something a little more uplifting? Jeez. You guys are wanting to talk about the most depressing crap ever. How about some sports, huh? Question mark.
Well, yeah, we could talk about sports. He's right.
Oh, yeah. Let's. You want to break down the home run derby?
Let's think about what happened in the world of sports yesterday or today.
No. There. Well, no.
And then. No sports happened. There were zero sport events
to break down.
I got nothing That's for it. You guys.
We've already talked about the home run derby. That's it. What else you got? That's it.
You know what? I stand corrected.
Uh-oh.
I can't believe I didn't even consider this when I was prepping my show.
Uh-oh.
The Minnesota Lynx defeated the San Antonio Stars 81-57 last night in San Antonio. The Stars just continue to struggle. They're 5-16 now. 4-7 at home. They're just bad. Meanwhile, the Lynx 17-4 just continue to look like a real title contender.
Well, yeah, ever since they started taking care of the ball, they don't turn it over as much. They've started scoring more points than their opponents.
Yes. And, scoring more points than their opponents has been a real key to their resurgence.
It's an underrated part of their game, actually.
Oddly enough, that's part of where the struggles for the San Antonio Stars have been.
Yeah.
In fact, Diarica Hamby and Jane Apple Marinelli.
Who's that?
They're two starters for the Stars.
Yeah.
Both scored 0 points last night. A vital role in keeping their total score, lower than that of the Lynx.
They're getting starter minutes, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
Chunking up donuts. All right.
Eureka Hamby got 22 minutes and actually only attempted one shot.
Ooh.
Yep. And Jane Apple Marinelli, 14 minutes starting at center,
mm-hmm.
All 0 of 4 from the field.
It's not that good.
No. They got some strong minutes off the bench from Kayla Alexander.
Oh.
She scored 9 points.
Ooh.
As the backup center. She also had 4 rebounds. A rebound comes when one player misses a shot and another player gets it
and
before the other team does.
She probably was very fundamental in the box out.
Extremely fundamental.
And two hands on the ball. Yep.
But, alas, even despite her performance and her 4 rebounds, which was second on the team, only to Hamby, the aforementioned Hamby,
yeah.
The Stars were out-rebounded 43-26.
Ooh.
The Lynx were led by Maya Moore and Lindsay Whalen with 24 and 22 points, respectively. And even Bashara Graves got in on the action.
I'm sorry, who?
Bashara Graves.
Oh.
She is a little-known forward who got she got 1 minute of game time last night. She didn't score any points, but
no?
They were kicking their ass so badly that Bashara got to come off the bench. And
she's like,
yeah.
She's garbage time. She's mop-up time?
That's basically what it is. A lot of people don't know about Bashara. She's from Tennessee, and she played at Tennessee. She's actually born in Clarksville, Tennessee. Little known fact, I once lived in Clarksville, Tennessee.
What? What?
But before you ask, I didn't know Bashara.
Okay, see, because that's what I was going to say.
Didn't know her.
Maybe a rec league game here or there?
Nope.
Nothing, huh? Boy, that would have been cool. That would have been a great story to tell the kids.
She was the 2012 Player of the Year, Gatorade Player of the Year.
Where? Everywhere? Or just Clarksville?
In Clarksville.
Oh.
No, but she was the prep Player of the Year, like, overall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. So she got a minute of playing time.
Yep.
Well, and there you go.
Her career stats in the WNBA, she averages 11 points a game. But on this Lynx team, which is just loaded with talent, she just didn't get a lot of minutes left.
You know, I think David Dilotti has the hot stove, the hot corner?
Right.
I think we need to start our own.
The Lynx Lounge?
Yeah. The WNBA team.
What would we call that?
I don't know. But we need a one-hour show where we just talk about WNBA.
I feel like we just did that.
Well, you want to do it?
We've been talking about this for at least an hour, right, John?
It feels like it.
Okay.
Someone asked if Tiffany Terrell
was good.
Don't
try to send me
looking.
To break. I want to keep talking about this game. We need more sports, John.
Someone texted and asked if Tiffany Terrell was good looking. I have no idea.
I've never seen her once in my life.
Oh, someone said NFL, jackasses. What? What?
What happened in the NFL yesterday that we haven't gotten to?
I don't know.
Do you want me to read a box score from last November?
All links all the time, baby. I'm changing my profile on Twitter to the Lynx logo, which I don't know what it is.
Was it the same guy who
I think so.
Asked for sports that now he's saying NFL?
Let's see.
It better not be.
No.
Because listen, if you ask for sports and I give you sports, don't come with, that's not the sports I wanted to hear about. You wanted something uplifting. I talked to you about a success story, the Minnesota Lynx.
A success story. Bashambi, what was it?
They started from the bottom. Bashara Graves.
There you go. Clarksville's finest.
That's right.
Well, you're
Sylvia Fowles.
Finest.
Maya Moore. Lindsay Whalen. These chicks ain't playing. They're playing basketball, but they're not playing around.
No. Guys, the texters are really need to do better. Someone wants us to talk about SEC Media Day. I would rather just jump out the window than talk about Media Day. Good Lord. I would rather continue our discussion on the WNBA.
We'll be back with more Lynx talk on the other side.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butts.
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we've got plenty more sports to get into.
No one's calling about the WNBA?
Yeah, no one.
Guys, if you're not going to call to talk sports, then don't call.
No one called about the Lynx.
I think I've made a huge mistake trying to keep up with the text on this show today. I don't know how Fred does it, but I just got to say it's hilarious to read the love and the hate that trickles constant. In through the text line.
That's
I see why he shields
it.
You from this.
I don't. I shield myself from it. I have nothing. Yeah. I don't want to deal with it.
It's it's pretty amazing, pretty awesome. I might just do this now that I have the link on my laptop. While y'all are on air for now, I'm just going to be at home on my laptop reading y'all's texts. This is great.
Like a read-along during the show.
Oh, yeah. This is way better
Instead of giving your own thoughts, you're like, I'm just going to read
the text.
Fair enough. Let's take a couple calls. Trey, you're on the Blitz. Hello, Trey. Sports to you.
Hey, what's up, AJ? Sports?
Sports is up.
How's it going, man? The thing I find funny about this whole Joe Paterno thing is when you ask the majority of his supporters about the past, they say, oh, don't bring up the past, but they're the first ones that want to honor him. And all of his accomplishments took place in the past. So it's kind of a hypocritical statement by them.
It is, although all of my accomplishments happened in the past as well, unfortunately, so I don't want to make too much fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't embed a child molester.
No, I've never done that. I've done a lot of really awful things, but I never did that. Some people have Let's go to...
Don't even try it.
Let's go to Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Hey, sports to you, man.
Yes, sir. Just got a quick question for you. So, I know everybody's raving. You know, we got Musgrove started the Futures game, but the guy I wanted to talk about was in the back end of the Fresno Grizzlies bullpen, and that's James Hoyt. He leads the, I believe, all the minor leagues in saves, and his ERA is under two. So, I mean, much like Harris, he's a guy who kind of struggled in the big leagues, but it looks like he's kind of found it almost. So is that a guy that, you know, you would trust to bring up down the stretch, or what do you think the Astros' plans are for him moving forward? And also, real quick, how soon do you think Bregman forces Correa to third? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, I don't think Bregman is forcing Correa to third. If Bregman's going to come up as to the majors, he's going to come up as a third baseman. So that's not going to happen.
But you know, I still don't even know if they end up bringing him up because
he'll be up by September. I mean, obviously call-ups they'll bring him up.
But I don't think but
the problem is Luis Valbuena is hitting now. I mean, his average is up to 270. Valbuena, let me repeat that. Valbuena's average is 270 now, or somewhere close. That's insane. I mean, there was at a time when he was hitting 230 and Gonzalez was hitting about 230, 240, then yeah, you could consider bringing up Bregman if it wasn't too soon. But I think that what they're doing now is let's move him up a level to AAA, get acclimated, move him to third once he's acclimated to the AAA pitching, and then wait. And if Valbuena goes in the tank or gets hurt, then you might see Bregman. Otherwise, I think you're going to let him get that seasoning. And when September call-ups happen, he'll be on the roster.
But Hoyt, who's like 30 years old, was part of the Evan Gattis trade. Mm-hmm. He's actually looked really good in AAA. If they continue to have, the bullpen has been a strength.
Yep.
But at the same time, you can also see why people are frustrated with it. And the reality is, I know everyone thinks Gregerson's the worst thing in the world. And earlier in the season, Ken Giles was the worst thing in the world.
It's a good bullpen.
Those two guys aren't going anywhere.
No.
They're well compensated, at least in the case of Gregerson. I think he's one of the top three paid players on the team. And they're not going to just, they gave up way too much for Ken Giles to say, oh, we're out on this guy now. There's no way to get away from him. I'm assuming that Hoyt's a guy that'll get a call up in September if someone gets injured. But again, when it comes to these prospects, you never know. You never know if these guys are any good or what's going to happen with them. It's a crapshoot. And guys who rake at AAA,
a lot of John Singleton.
Yeah. Brett Wallace.
Yeah.
Brett Wallace was like the best AAA player.
A.J. Reed led the AAA player of the year, wasn't he? Led homers and RBIs?
Yep. And now people are throwing him change-ups, and he just doesn't seem to know what to do.
It's a big difference between the two, between the AAA affiliates and the majors. It's a huge difference, huge jump. That's why when you see a guy go from AA to the majors and have some success, it surprises people because usually the path is you move up a level and you get that extra seasoning that you need to be ready for the different style of pitching that you're going to see when you come up to the majors. So, yeah, I mean, they don't need to rush him. I felt like bringing up A.J. Reed was the right move because they needed help at first base. They had nobody that was able to hit at the time. Marwin Gonzalez is doing all right, although I don't like Valbuena in the two-hole, but at least his average is up to 270. Gonzalez can move runners over when he needs to. So I think they're fine right now. If they're going to do anything, they need help in the rotation. That's where they need help.
I'm with you on that. Let's go to – is that Quinnen?
Yeah.
What's up, Quinnen?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This
sports.
Is my first time calling in. Heard you wanted to hear WNBA quick.
Oh, yeah. What do you have? It has to be about last night's game, though. Otherwise, I probably don't know.
No, it's just a general thing.
Okay.
Who do you think would make it a bit more popular, like the NCAA women's sports? I would say they do like a fantasy draft style kind of thing where general managers kind of get their choice as
the
talent as available.
I don't totally understand. First of all,
are you saying every year
women's collegiate sports is not successful at all? I mean, it's not.
Are you saying every year that the general managers for each of the WNBA teams would re-pick rosters? Like fantasy sports?
I think that's what he's saying.
Oh, I don't know what that would do.
I got to be honest. There's literally nothing that would make the WNBA interesting to me. I know that's
I can think of a couple things. Probably none I'm going to say over the air. But
I can't.
That would make it interesting. Oh, come on.
Would it make you watch?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I can't. I'm not saying it.
Okay. We'll discuss your theory during the break. Right. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.